Today's guest is Tim Rabin of Merle Monroe, I think one of the absolute breakout bands of 2019. Their album Back to the Country did very, very well. They have a couple of new singles that are coming up being released, which means a new CD's on the way. We're going to talk to Tim about last year's stunning Back to Country and the two new singles and the creation of Merle Monroe with Daniel Grinstadt, who's been a guest on this program before. Then we'll talk to Tim Rabin about the two new songs that are coming up in detail and about the band and about his musical history. Thanks again, Tim Rabin, for participating in a fine, fine show as we talked about Merle Monroe, a couple of new songs they have, and what's coming in the future with them. To the listeners of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a great tune, also a great video with this tune, This Town, from Merle Monroe, their album last year, Back to the Country, which was on Pinecastle. Great album, did so well. There were so many great way to introduce a band, I think. That album was received so well throughout the industry. And on the phone today, I have a good chunk of that band, singer, songwriter, and just an all-around good guy, Tim Rabin. How are you, Tim?
Doing great, Steve. Good to be with you today.
I'm happy to have you. Listen, since we started off with This Town, which was released last year on the Back to the Country, talk a little bit. We know it was a Roger Mill. We know there was a video, but talk a little bit about the input that brought that song to the band. And then I want to talk about your history a little bit, and then we'll get on to some new releases.
Sure. Well, I've always been a big Roger Miller fan, like so many people are. And so, you know, as a band, you're always looking for songs. I mean, you're constantly. I mean, Daniel and I, just this past week, we sent each other half dozen songs that things we may want to record, or just variations of the way they kick things off, where they end things, phrasing, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I ran across, we were still needing a really up-tempo song, and this is, Roger Miller did not cut this up-tempo. It's just a very, like a mid-tempo, kind of a funny, quirky kind of way he sang it. But we put a double time on it, sped it up quite a bit, as you know, and it worked. It just worked very, very well. And that's kind of how we come to terms with it. We were a little worried that it may not come off well with the way that he cut it. But fortunately for us, it never was a huge hit for Roger Miller. Some people who follow Roger Miller knows the song, but never was a golden oldie of his. But nonetheless, it was a well-written song. It's fun. It's fast. And that's kind of come to fruition for Merle Monroe.
Video, which is very entertaining, because I get the feeling that that's, it moves along. And I feel like everybody, and I've talked to Daniel about this. Daniel's been on the show before, if not twice. And we did talk about this tune, and the tempo is maybe one of the, it's hard to imagine that a banjo player had never reached this tempo before, but I know it's a faster tune that he's ever played, and he's played with a lot of people.
Yeah, but when I sent him the click on it, he says, "Man, you've got to be kidding me." So I don't know if I can play that fast. I said, "Well," I said, "just try to do your best." And he did. He pulled it off. You know, he's,
oh, sure.
Daniel is one of the most, you know, let me just say this. So we kind of get into my history if you want to. But
yeah, sure, do that. But why don't you talk about Daniel then how you guys met, because yeah. I know what you're going to say about Daniel. I'm a big fan, and he can do everything, but you go, and I'll let you talk.
Yeah, I met Daniel. I was just filling in for Marty at IBMA back in 2007, I believe.
And Marty's your brother.
Yeah, Marty Rabin, yeah, mm-hmm. Full okay. Circle. Mm-hmm. And the lead singer, Shenandoah. Anyway, but I met Daniel just filling in for Marty, and we were just like old buddies. I just, you know, he grew up listening to Bob and Sonny Osborne, the Osborne Brothers, Jim and Jesse, of course, Bill Monroe. And, you know, all of our musical likes, they were all the same. They were just absolutely the same. It was just, you know, I'm 20 years older than he is. So it's kind of, that's kind of odd. But we just struck up a friendship, and we stayed friends, I mean, the whole time. This entire time, we've been really good friends. But, you know, I'm a businessman here in Nashville, and music was not really on my plate. I stay fairly busy, you know, doing what I do. And I always said if I ever started the band, I would only start it with Daniel Grinstadt and no one else. I mean, Marty asked me to be in his band several times. I said, I had no hankering to be in your band. And I filled in for him quite a bit, but never really wanted to be a part of the band. But I always said I would team up with Daniel Grunstadt. He's the hardest working guy that I know, one of the smartest business people I know, and yet he's one of the finest banjo players I've ever heard, ever played with, ever associated with. And so you put all that together, I mean, you have a winning team. And he's actually the strength of Merle Monroe. I mean, I can write, I can sing, but if you don't have somebody that handles your business, it doesn't get out, it doesn't get heard. So he's really the main strength of Merle Monroe.
And I agree with everything you just said about Daniel. I've known him for a very long time, actually. When I think back to it, not as long as you have, but I've known Daniel for a while. And on banjo, yeah, he's as good as you would ever want anyone to be. He's got a great sound. I know Sonny's a big fan of his, as Daniel is a fan of the Osmond Brothers. Mm-hmm. It's funny that Daniel has taken that business position because Sonny with the Osmond Brothers was the business guy.
That's right, yeah. Exactly, right.
Interesting. I hadn't made that correlation yet, but it makes sense.
Their personalities are very similar. He doesn't suffer a lot of foolishness. When he's business, he's all business. And he'll joke up with you. He'll joke. Mm-hmm. We'll have a good time. But when he gets down to business, like Sonny, he is all business. And just and toe the line. Because, you know, he's great. He's great companion. He's great band member, all that kind of stuff. But he wants it right. And that's why I love and admire about him.
Well, I think, Tim, talking to Tim Rabin here on Unreal Bluegrass, I think the first album then that came out last year, or Back to the Country, which was on your Pinecastle, I've talked to Daniel enough, and you and I have talked before today. I think that shows the business, not just the talent of the band. You have to have a talented band. You can't fake the vocals and the musicianship. But I also think that the way the release came out and the way that things were promoted, and I know you guys had a lot of things set up and nobody could play after everything's crashed back in February and March of 2020, but I know there was a plan. It was easy to tell that there was something in motion that was going to, you know, the timing of things was not an accident. So I think that's a credit to the band as a whole. You got to be good. You got to know you're in a business. You got to want to entertain, but you got to mind when it's business time, you got to do business.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you got to do it well.
Well, thank you. I actually have two expressions that I try to follow. You only have one chance to have one chance. And the other one is, practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. So when we get together, I do all the pre-production for our record. And actually, ironically enough, I do it on my phone. Every song you hear of Merle Monroe, I have a pre-production of that song on my phone. And so then what I do, I email it to everybody. This is what I want the guitar to do. This is what I want the bass to do. And this is what the fiddle to do, and then when we get together, we have a blueprint of how to practice that song correctly instead of just kind of coming up with something just kind of haphazard and then not getting anywhere. It's all planned out, and so there again, you hire the right people that, mm-hmm. that can pull that off. You know, obviously, and we've been really fortunate to have great musicians in our band and. Great singers, man. We're just so fortunate.
And you're right. I would say this: practice smart rather than just practice long. I think it's the same thing you're saying. Is that you know, if guys like me are hanging around in the house and you know we wanted to play out and we did for a while, I noticed then that our practices were a lot of empty space that didn't need to be there. But we weren't doing it as a business. We would get paid every once in a while. But I think at your level, you have to recognize that time together, practicing, the time in the studio is cost money. And you got to have people fix that, and you got to have promotion. You have to keep those things separate. You can enjoy what you're doing, and you should. If not, then maybe reexamine what you're doing. But you have to have the fun and the camaraderie such that it exists in the band. I know there's strained moments when you're traveling, but then you got to know when it's time to turn the business end on. And that's what you're telling me that you guys do, which is pretty obvious to me that the way the songs come out and just the effort. I mean, Back to the Country to me was easily album of the year contender, easily.
Well, thank you. Coming from you, it means a lot. I appreciate that. I do.
I mean, everything. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we just had a lot of fun cutting it. You know, we really did. You know, going back to the musicianship on that album, you know, Stephen Burwell, who played fiddle with Doyle Austin, engineered the record. And then he and I sit down, and we because I play fiddle too, but we sit down, and I'm nowhere compared to Steve Burwell. Stephen Burwell is one of the greatest fiddle players I've ever heard, ever, in my 57 years of living. He's probably the best I've ever heard. But I sit down with him, and I said, here's what I'd like to hear, and to just put your touch on it. So it was just, Steve, it's so nice doing that. And so we took our time. We felt like on beautiful Kentucky. I don't know if you
I love it.
Yeah, that fiddle work on that, we were trying to make that maybe an anthem for Kentucky. You know, we'd be honored if that would ever happen. Don't know that it will now, but at that time, we were really going after another anthem for Kentucky. And kind of a raise your glass kind of moment when you sing the song to a crowd and in Kentucky. But anyway, the way we designed the fiddles and stuff on that, then we had Elon Johnson, then at that time, was playing bass for Doyle Austin. And he would later become a member of Merle Monroe. But he played guitar and bass on the record. I played guitar and bass too, but he also did as well. And then, of course, Daniel Grindstaff, obviously on banjo. And then we had Nick Chandler, who is with, you know, the Nick Chandler band, which they're doing great.
Oh, he's got a great band, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He played mandolin on it. So, I mean, everybody we had on there was just top of the line, just top of the line musicians. And so it made the songs that we had on there, you know, illuminate even brighter than what they probably were maybe before, you know, they put their touch on it. So we were very fortunate. We felt we had a really good album, and we felt we had to come with a really good album. Again, you only have one chance. So, but, yeah, it turned out well.
Oh, very well. Listen, I want to talk about, you have two singles out that are now that we're going to talk about in just a minute. I'll have you introduce Hello Sunshine, then we'll come back and talk some more, and I'll have you introduce God's Still in Control. But before we get there, Tim, your vocals are, of course, Marty has a great voice. Your vocals are just, the range is really kind of amazing, the range of your voice. And Marty has a great voice too, but you sound nothing alike.
Yeah. We don't even talk alike. So, and that, you know, again, I go back to where we begin the radio interview. I'm a businessman here in town, so.
And you can say what your business is. I'm not.
Well, I have several. I'm a builder. I'm also in the real estate business.
Okay.
Here in Nashville, and but you know, so I have to approach it a little bit different. I deal with a lot of bankers. I deal with a lot of executives. I deal with a lot of, you know, just higher realm income individuals. You know, where Marty does. Marty is around the music business, and you know, just, you know, my folks, both of our folks, were from Alabama. Marty kind of has taken on that style of speaking, and I love it. I love Marty's real. He's as real as a, you know, a dollar bill, but. But I just approached it a little bit different, and singing-wise, it's completely different. Marty is turned out to be one of the greatest singers probably in country music in the last 50 years. And there was a guy named Robert Byrne who wrote a lot of their Shenandoah.
For Shenandoah, yeah, you're talking about, yeah. Shenandoah, just to bring the listeners, yeah, up to speed. Marty kind of came back to bluegrass, or I guess early 2000, yeah, with Full Circle, did some great,
yeah,
great stuff. But he had been Shenandoah, and now he kind of bounces back and forth. But yeah, you want to hear some great vocals, Shenandoah just kills country music.
Yeah, a gentleman named Robert Byrne who helped produce that record with Brick Hall, but then also was a songwriter. He was a songwriter on Two Dozen Roses, See If I Care, She Doesn't Cry Anymore, a lot of their big stuff, Robert. Marty was originally a bluegrass singer, and Robert turned Marty really into a country singer, and he pulled it out of him. But coming from that vein, to coming where I'm at, I was really always a high lead singer. I never, you would never say I was a country style singer. I was like a, I would say like a Bobby Osborn, a Joe Bal, you know, Joe Bal sitting that sure. high lead.
Yeah.
And I was really more of that vein of a singer. So our styles were completely different. So phrasing had to be different. The chord selection had to be different. Now, when I worked in Marty's band, filling in for him, then I had to sing tenor, which I had to really work hard for that. And I was on most of his records singing tenor. But that was a really hard thing for me to do because I really wasn't a tenor singer. We talked about Bob and Sonny a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Osborn, to me, is not really a tenor singer. He can do tenor. He's a great tenor singer. But Bobby Osborn was one of the best lead singers ever. I don't care what music you talk about. In his heyday, nobody could touch him.
Nope.
Country or bluegrass.
That's right.
Bobby was the greatest lead singer. But because his voice was so high, people just assumed he was a tenor singer. And he wasn't. He was a high lead singer. And that's really a lot of my style would emulate or would try to emulate what Bob did in his heyday. And so Marty and I just come speak and sing in two different veins of music. And that's the difference. And so you're right. A lot of people, they don't even know that we're brothers.
Well, not by listening. Although, let me tell you this. You mentioned that you weren't really a country singer. I want you to introduce Hello Sunshine because I hear Bakersfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that whole sound, and I want you to explain that song to me because I hear that and I hear this. And then in my mind, I see this video of Buck and the Bucker. I can see it when I hear it. Not that you're imitating that, but the feel. You explain a little bit about Hello Sunshine because I think that's a great song.
Well, thank you. It's so funny you say that because that's the first thing Daniel said to me, and I went, "What? What?" So, I had it written, let me just explain our setup.
Yeah,
so
sure.
The first person that hears anything I write is not my wife, although she may hear me writing something. But when I complete it, the first person to hear it is Daniel Grindstaff. He's the first one. I value his opinion on our songs. I have written so many songs, Steve, and he says, you know, I just don't hear it. You know what? He was right. And everyone that he has said, yeah, that's a good song. I like that. That it's done very well for us. So, he's my editor, I guess. So, editor-in-chief. That's just another title I can give him. But I had written a song at the end of March. I can still see it, picture it in my mind. I was at the breakfast table. I had just made my wife and our youngest son breakfast. And so my wife is cleaning up. I went to the computer. I just had this, in Nashville, we had a real gloomy winter. The sun just really shined that much. It really wasn't snowy. We didn't get a lot of snowy. It's very cloudy, gloomy and cloudy. And that's not a normal winter in Nashville.
No.
So it was just a beautiful day in March. It was still a little chilly outside, but a beautiful day in March, end of March. And the sun was just so bright and shiny. I just looked outside and said, hello, sunshine, just like that. And then I had another phrase come to my mind. It says, sure, it's been a long time. And I went right to my computer. I didn't pick up a guitar, nothing. I went to my computer. I just wrote that line. That line proceeded. The line followed that line. It followed that line. And Steve, in 10 minutes, I had this song written without a guitar, without any nothing. And I just, so it was the hello and goodbye. Hello, goodbye, kind of, hello, sunshine, goodbye, gray skies. And that sounds part is, hello, I forgot the song now. I forgot what I wrote. But anyway, but
well, they're going to hear
hello, goodbye kind of thing.
Yeah, I understand. They're going to hear it. And then I want the audience to listen to Hello Sunshine. And then when we come back, I want you to tell me what I hear that's Bakersfield. Not yet. But when we come back, we'll talk to you some more. Then we'll chat a little bit more about what some new, you have another new single, God's Still in Control. We'll talk a little bit about what Merle Monroe is doing. Tim Raybon, thanks so much. We're going to listen to that song you just described, Hello Sunshine. We'll be right back in a minute. Now, Tim Raybon, we just heard you get a nice lead up to Hello Sunshine and when you wrote it. But when I hear it, why do I think of I'll say Buck Owens. I mean, it could be anything, but it's definitely, and I'm playing that off of you saying you're not really a country singer. When I hear that, I think of Buck Owens in some setting in one of their TV shows. I don't mean Hee Haw, but when he did that Buck Owens show and he had everybody out in front of the house, that song just you're not trying to duplicate it or reproduce it, but it has that feel to me. I don't know why that is. Maybe you can help me. Maybe I just imagine it.
Well, again, I didn't hear it. Dango heard it, and he said this to me, which was it was genius, absolute genius. He says, "We have to get Trey Hensley playing the guitar on that." And I said, "Who?" He said, "Trey Hensley." I said, "Trey Hensley." I said, "Why do I know that name?" He said, "He's with Rob Ice. It's Rob Ice. It's Ice and Hensley, or Hensley and Ice." I said, "Oh, okay. I had never met him. I didn't know that much about him."
Well, you've now learned that Trey can play anything on a guitar.
Anything. The guy can do. You know, and Steve, what's great about Trey, he's a very young man, but he can play stuff that was recorded in the 40s, 50s. We cut Saginaw, Michigan on our new record, the Lefty Frizzell song that Bill Anderson wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, is it Grady Martin or Grady Wilson, I think, that played guitar on that?
I don't remember.
But he kicked it off, and it's like the record. It was like you listened to Lefty Frizzell's record. He kicked it off exactly the same. I said, "How do you know that?" He said, I've listened to all that kind of music. But get back to Hello Sunshine.
How you got him on this?
He said, "Man, you have got to get we got to get Trey Hensley on this record." I said, "Well, call him. I don't know him. I'll be glad to, you know." Yeah. Now, I had a little riff going on, a little signature riff I thought was the coolest thing I had ever done. So I played it for Trey. And Trey says, "Well, what if I did this, and it's what you hear on the record?" And I said, yeah, that's probably better. So, but that what he has, Daniel heard that without hearing that lick on that record. He heard it. Apparently, he heard it, and it turned it into that Bakersfield. And everybody said that. And it just turned out to be this. You know, just trying to be, you know, what it is, and we're very, very excited about it. It's doing very, very well for us. So
it's a great. Well, you've described all that makes sense to me. And Trey's been on the show a couple times. Once several years ago, he sort of released a solo album. And I thought I got to talk to this guy, nicest guy in the world. Then he and Rob are touring, so I talked to both Rob and Trey at the same time, and they seem to just be having a great time. But so you've described the origin of Hello Sunshine. It's a great song, gets a lot of play. So I want you to introduce in just a minute the other single that I'm aware of right now, God's Still in Control. But what's are you releasing singles as Merle Monroe now, and anticipating that there will be a full CD released at some point?
Yeah, we have about half of the project recorded right now. And one reason we don't have it completely done, it's just so hard to get everybody in through a studio with everything going on with COVID right now. So we kind of meal piece it together. We have to have somebody lay down a guitar track and a bass track. And then what I have to do, I have to come back in later and then do a vocal. And then we have to ship it off and send it to a fiddle player, let Steven do the fiddle part on it. And then we may have to ship it off to a dobro player at his studio and just kind of meal piece it together. Because of COVID-19, it's just not good that we're all in, you know, one room.
I agree.
But yes, but there will be another project. It should be out. Pinecastle's hoping it's going to be out towards the very end of winter or first part of the very first part of spring.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to that. In the interim, then we've talked about the one single, "Hello Sunshine." I have another single that I've played before that I want you to talk a little bit, and we're going to play that for the audience, Tim. "God's Still in Control," kind of lead up to that, if you will, as we approach "Hello Sunshine." Do that a little bit, and then we'll introduce the audience again to that tune as you describe it.
Well, when this whole pandemic started, or when it was an epidemic at that point in time, we were hearing rumors of, you know, things could possibly shut down. You're thinking, why? Are you okay for a couple of weeks, maybe, or whatever? And the cold, hard reality came around March 13th when I was watching a news conference, and President Trump said that this has turned into a pandemic, and, you know, parts of the country are going to have to shut down. And then shortly after then, our governor shut everything down here. And then the mayor of Nashville shut all of the clubs down. Well, I know a lot of people in the music business, just like you do. Look, their livelihood, this is before the CARES Act came. There was no thing about congressional help at that point in time. People just out of work. Well, I know a lot of these people, and they're a lot of our friends, and I thought, oh, my gosh, they'll be financially devastated. I mean, I was broken. I was heartbroken over how their life in one day changed.
And you're right. That was a Friday. As I remember, the 13th was a Friday. And then by Monday, everything had hit the wall. Everybody had their spring tours lined up, and it just hit. It just
gone.
Ended. It was all gone.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. Now, you know, me and Daniel, we're okay. I mean, we're, like I said, we have our own business and stuff, but there's so many people that we know that's their whole life. God bless them. That's their whole life. That's all they know. And one thing there was two things that really hit my heart. When something like that happens, I have to write it down. Now, oftentimes it doesn't turn into much. But that day, I wrote down, I know the world's different than what it was yesterday. And what you thought was certain has now gone away. And that was an overriding theme of where a lot of our friends were. Like you say, on Friday, they were ready for a spring tour.
Exactly.
They had nothing.
It hit the wall.
Their world just changed.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they had counted on was gone.
And it hasn't really come back.
Mm-mm.
Here we are, mid-August. It's not even begun to come back.
And I actually don't think that most people even think that anything really will happen musically. I know in Nashville that we've had kind of a resurgence back. The clubs are still down. They're probably not going to come back. Now, fortunately for a lot of our friends did get some help through the congressional help and stuff like that. That was a godsend. And hopefully, you know, that'll get continued to help them out throughout the year. But one thing I will say, because I'm a firm believer in God, and I do believe that nothing like this takes him by surprise. Nothing. And so, but then the second overriding theme in my mind was that God's still in control. Look, this didn't take him by surprise. He knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He'll help those who need help. He'll get us through this. Look, our country's been through two world wars. It's been through the Vietnam War. It's been through the Iraq War. We've been through depressions. We've been through recessions. We're still here. I mean, we'll make it through it. Now, nobody, I think, would dare say that we've ever been through anything like this, where, you know, like a war affects a certain demographic of our country.
Mm-hmm.
A recession would, it really hits a certain demographic of our country. However, this has touched every demographic.
Everything.
Of our country.
Yep, you're right. Everything.
So it changed. But so again, I was just heartbroken. I had to write something. So I had this song written, and Daniel says, "Man, that has to be our first single." I said, "That's not really that's not a happy song. That's not a song you want to come with on your first single." So we sent it to Ethan Burkett, who heads up Pinecast. He says, we have to come with that and get it in studio right away, get it done. So I went to Stephen Burwell's studio, and the only person on that project is just, I'm playing guitar and the bass on it. Stephen Burwell's doing the fiddle, the magnificent fiddle work on it, violin, basically. And then Andy Lefkowitz is playing mandolin on it. It's just the three of us. And yet it sounds like an orchestra when you play it. And we were, it came out so well. Matter of fact, this week it's number one on Roots Music Report of all bluegrass songs. Not just gospel, but all bluegrass songs is number one. So it's touched a lot of lives. See, we have had so many people. We've had churches reach out to us and said, "Listen, do you have a lyric for this? We want to play this in our church." We've had people that have sent us, I cannot tell you how many messages we've had, said, "Listen, you just don't know how this song spoke to me and how this song has helped me through this." And you can't sit down and write a song like that thinking, I'm going to write a song that touches everybody. You can't do that.
No.
It's a God thing in a lot of ways.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something?
It's humbling. And what a responsibility you have when you sit down and write something. What a responsibility you have. You know, you want to encourage people. And, you know, and to have this song come out. This song really is really for any time that we are in just in a bad situation for our country. It'd be a lot of different things. But, again, it's helped and touched so many people. It has been out for a while. But even on our Facebook, our Merle Monroe page, there are people still this morning commenting on the song.
You know, I think, not to take away any from your songwriting, but I think what you're telling me is when a song like that comes, you're basically a channel. You're
exactly.
an open channel to that.
You're exactly right.
Okay,
You're exactly right, yeah.
It's a powerful song.
Thank you.
I'm proud to know you guys. I think of the band, you know, right as you're hitting your stride, the bottom falls out of all the music business. I think Merle Monroe is going to be around for a long time. I love the sound. I try to promote the band as much as I can, but only because I believe in it. I don't do it unless it means something to me. But we'll get through this, and we'll come out on the other end. And whenever the new album drops, whether it's the end of 2020 or winter of 21 when it ends or spring, you guys let me know. I would love to get my hands on the full thing. I'm sure Pinecastle will send it to me, or Daniel will let me know when it's available. And we'll go back and review the whole thing from the get-go. How about that?
Absolutely. That'd be great. Thank you, Steve.
Hey, Tim, thanks so much for your time. Tim Raven, first time on Unreal Bluegrass. It's not that bad, really.
No, it's great. It's fine.
I'm going to let you go. I know it's a busy day for you, and we're going to leave with the song you just described so well, so touchingly, the tune God's Still in Control, which is one of the two singles out right now from Merle Monroe, and we'll catch up later down the road, I promise. See you, Tim.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.